You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Well, it's Tuesday, and the good Lord above only knows where this man's going to go this week. Are we going to be in a mine shaft? Are we going to get shot off a stagecoach? Or are we going to be chasing what? I don't know.
You're going to find out.
Okay, go ahead.
So, but first, a few listeners. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Jeff, who suggested that I do a story on Bass Reeves. Matt, who actually is a relative of Jim Bridger.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where from?
I'm not sure where he lives now, but his family thinks they're related to Jim Bridger.
Really?
Yeah. And then Bob, he suggested we do a show on guns, which I've been working on. And then Lynn in Germany, you make fun of me, Zeb. Because
maybe once in a while.
You give me a hard time when I say dang.
Yeah.
Instead of some other words.
Yeah.
Well, Lynn in Germany found that the word dang is used a lot in the southern states. So there you have it.
Well, go dang it.
Yes, yes. Now, last week I got a phone call from Ray Bagby.
Super guy.
And I went out there, and he gave me this book, of which I'm going to take a story out of today.
Throw down the box.
Treasure Tales from Gilmer and Salisbury, the Western Stagecoach King.
And did you ever meet a guy that knows more about the Old West than stagecoaches? That guy is sharp.
You have got to go out to his place, Zeb, sometime. He's got a hearse that he built from the ground up. It's beautiful. The woodwork.
I just hope he doesn't make me use it.
Yeah, and he built a stagecoach that is immaculate.
Yeah, it is. I got a picture right here on my desk.
Anyway, so this story is for Ray and his partner, Richard.
Yes.
And I found some things in this book that I had never heard before about the City of Rocks.
Oh, really?
Now, I've only known of about two robberies that took place in the City of Rocks. But going through this, there's more. And so I'm going to talk about some of those as much time as we have. So, for our listeners out there, the City of Rocks is located in Cashew County, just west of the little town of Alamo, Idaho. So if you look on a map, it's right on the middle of southern Idaho,
right down
south of the Snake River. But, it was a landmark well known to the earliest frontiersmen, from the fur trappers of the Hudson's Bay Company to the American mountain men. It was kind of the dividing point on the on the California and the Oregon trails, as they decided whether to go to Oregon or go on the California
trail.
So,
can I ask a question here?
Sure.
The trail and or road that goes out of Alamo.
Uh-huh.
And goes up to through the City of Rocks.
Right.
Is that the original
trail? That's the road. Yes,
it is,
yes.
And it goes down through Oakley?
No.
Oh.
No, the California Trail continues.
Isn't there a cutoff road, though?
There is, that'll take you over to Oakley. But if you continue on the California Trail, you keep going south. You don't go through Oakley on the California Trail.
You got to get my directions over by Lind?
Sort of. Kind of that direction.
Sort of, okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, the City of Rocks was also well known to the early explorers and settlers as the place where the Indians held their annual sun dance, which was actually a religious festival which lasted for 3 days and night. And near the northeast section of the City of Rocks formation, there is a well-worn circle where this secret rite was held.
Oh.
Now, I have never seen it, but I'm going to see if I can find that. But anyway, it was sometimes shown on early actually maps as Rock City or Circle City and Pyramid City, but the name city is kind of a misnomer because there really is no city there. I mean, the City of Rocks is a place avoided by white men until the Fort Hall Wagon Road was built across it. And, of course, with the discovery of gold at the Boise Basin, John Haley built a stage road to Salt Lake City. And at first, a lot of the Gilmer and Salisbury's stagecoach stations were really just places rather than real habitations. They were just a spot, you know, and at best offering passengers the comfort of a one-room log cabin and at times only a dugout. And home stations were few and far between when the road was first put into use, their main home stations being at the City of Rocks and King Hill. But if a traveler wasn't too particular, he might find some beans and bacon or biscuits and salt pork at Tom Oakley's Ranch or at Clark's Ferry. Now, here's a quote from Mark Twain in his book called Roughing It. Here's what he described about a frontier stage station. Quote, "The roof was so low you could rest your elbows on its eaves, and you had to bend over to get in the door. For a window, there was a square hole, but there was no glass in it. There was no floor, just hard-packed earth. There were no shelves, cupboards, or closets, and no stove, but only a fireplace. There were no chairs, nor had there ever been any, but they were represented by a pine bench and two empty candle boxes. The table was a greasy board on stilts. The tablecloth and napkins hadn't arrived yet, nor were they expected to. Outside the door, there was a tin wash basin on the ground. Near it was a pail of water and a piece of yellow soap, and from the eaves hung the remains of a blue woolen shirt, but it was the station keeper's private towel, which no one else could use. In one corner..."
Sounds like they stayed at a very cheap hotel.
"In a corner of the shack stood an open sack of flour, and leaning against it, a little bag of salt and a side of bacon. We gave up on the breakfast, but had to pay $1 each anyway."
You know, what about the people that traveled during those days? I mean, eating that kind of food might make them sick, and they might end up with all kinds of problems.
You know, I would almost bet that there's some people that just took their own beef jerky or pemmican or something to eat
on
the way.
Pretty hard to wheel a six-horse stage into a Wendy's.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's probably no place in the West where more lost stagecoach loot is alleged to be hidden than the City of Rocks.
Really?
Yeah. I did not know this until, so I appreciate Ray giving this book. Now, one of the largest outlaw caches hidden at the City of Rocks resulted from a robbery at the Gilmer and Salisbury stage on June 18th, 1876.
Wow.
Joe Tuttle was the driver. He was carrying a treasure box heavy with refined gold from the mills at Boise Basin. So he was coming from Boise this direction.
Okay, the other way. So,
he was headed to Utah.
Where would they go through the hills up here?
Well, they would go out past Oakley and through the City of Rocks,
gotcha,
out that direction.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, his stage was robbed, actually a little farther, I didn't go far enough. His stage was robbed near the head of Raft River, and the headwaters of the Raft River are actually in Utah, and there are two narrows. The stage was robbed at what they call the lower narrows. Now, the treasure box was so heavy it couldn't be lifted by one man, but had to be dumped over the side of the coach. There was no gunfire, nor were any of the passengers robbed. When the box was dropped to the ground, Tuttle was allowed to continue. So he continued on to Stravelle. Do you know where Stravelle is?
Yeah, I do.
So for our listeners, Stravelle is between the little town of Malta and Snowville.
Right.
About halfway, and there's really nothing there anymore.
Just look for the high-rise hotels.
Yes, and there is actually an old hotel out
there.
There is,
yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, that was the nearest place where a posse could be organized. Well, eight men rode back to the holdup site and found where a pack animal had been hidden behind some rocks. Tracks revealed that two trips had been required to move the heavy treasure deep into the City of Rocks. But the trail was lost on the rocky ground into the deep sand. Now, reports soon circulated that the gold taken was valued at, get this, $144,000.
That was back in 1876.
Yeah, so
what
at
would
least
that
10
be
times
like today?
I was going to check that, but at least 10 times, 8, 10 times that,
wow.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
But anyway, the amount had been insured by Wells Fargo, and they paid by the insurance company. And why the treasure coach was not better protected, you know, why didn't they send some guards?
There was just a driver?
Yeah, just the driver and maybe some passengers. Yeah. So, you know, if you were sending that much, wouldn't you try to have an escort?
I'd have at least a shotgun guard.
Yeah, and maybe they did have a shotgun, but it doesn't mention it.
Yeah.
Well, several weeks after the robbery, suspicions fell on a guy by the name of Jim Looney, a freighter and sometimes petty crook. Upon his arrest, it was discovered that Looney had several gold pocket watches with other people's names inscribed on them, as well as two tobacco tins filled with gold dust that he could not account for.
All right? I see.
The watches were traced to other stagecoach robberies, so Looney was sent to prison, all the time denying any knowledge of the robbery at the Raft River Narrows. Now, Looney was sick. He wasn't feeling good before he was arrested, and he died in prison not long after he was put in prison.
Now, was that in Boise?
It doesn't say where he went to prison.
I see.
But the search for the missing gold didn't end with Looney's death, because shortly afterwards, a suspicious character was observed prowling around the rocks where the posse had lost Looney's trail.
I see.
Over in the City of Rocks. Well, they found out that the stranger was Looney's brother, and that he had a letter written by Looney, obviously smuggled out of prison.
Really?
So he was looking, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, the letter indicated that Looney knew he was dying and wanted his brother to get the treasure. Well, in the letter, he said that the gold was cached in a place where the names, quote, L.L. Day and H.P. Lowell, 1847, were cut into a huge rock. So pioneers, you know, a lot of them would write their names. And so those two names were cut into a big rock. Now, the instructions directed Looney's brother to, quote, follow straight north from the names to the mouth of a wind-worn cave where the gold would be found buried under several feet of sand. Okay. No time was lost starting the search, but the described names were never found. He couldn't find those names. Okay.
Really?
Others actually looked for it as well. And strangely, during the search of a wind-worn cave that was found, one of them, evidently there's a number of these wind-worn caves
up there,
up in that area.
Have you been there and seen some of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've hiked around that whole area and camped
really?
In there. And,
really?
Yeah. But in one of those caves was found an ancient-looking copper kettle half full of old gold coins. The coins dated back long before the holdup of the stage. In another shallow cave, a skeleton, an old flintlock rifle, and several rusted beaver traps were discovered. And this only kind of added to the mystery of, you know, of the City of Rocks.
So did they ever find out who the guy was that
died?
Yeah.
No, the skeleton? No. So evidently, you know, with this old copper pot full of gold coins, that makes me think Spanish. Spanish gold or something, but who knows? Anyway, now here we go a couple of years later. During the early summer of 1878, a Gilmer and Salisbury stage was on its way from Boise to Kelton, and it was robbed just east of the Goose Creek relay station. Two bandits took a treasure box containing $90,000 in gold.
Wow.
Now, this was all in bullion bars being shipped from the mines at Boise Basin. So, have you ever lifted a bullion bar, Zeb?
They're not light.
No. I have lifted.
You can grab one like this and end up on your knees.
Yeah, they are heavy.
They're heavy.
So, anyway, I was going to. It was from the mines. Anyway, the stage driver turned his stage around after the robbery and returned to Tom Oakley's ranch, which is over in Oakley, where several cowboys were pressed into a posse duty. The trail of the two bandits led into the City of Rocks, and the tracks were lost again on the soft, sandy ground, and the posse split up. Okay. Two of Oakley's cowboys came upon the outlaws unexpectedly in an out-of-the-way place near what some now call Treasure Rock.
Really?
A gunfight erupted, and one of the outlaws was killed, the other being captured and was taken back to Oakley's Ranch. Now, an attempt was made to backtrack the outlaws from where they were surprised back to the holdup location, but the hard rock, the lava, just hid their trail too well. They really could not find...
So there was two cowboys that went out and caught the other two guys.
Right. Exactly. One was killed, and the other one they captured and took back to Oakley. Well, so the man that was captured, he denied being involved in the stagecoach robbery, but a mask cut from a flour sack and an empty Wells Fargo money bag found in his saddlebags was enough evidence to convict him. He was sentenced to the Idaho Penitentiary for life, and while in prison, he finally figured, you know, I'm never going to be released. And so he started talking to one of his cellmates that the stagecoach loot was buried in the center of five cedar trees growing in the shape of a heart between Treasure Rock and Twin Sisters Rock. Now, when his cellmate had served his time and was released, he tried to find the gold, obviously the treasure. He finally located the formation the outlaw had called Twin Sisters Rock, which we all know, that's a very obvious one. You've been there, Zeb, so the Twin Sisters. But he had no idea which of the other hundreds of rocks the outlaw had called Treasure Rock. So, and I really don't know that there's one up there that is. There may be one that's called Treasure Rock, but it may not be the same one that this outlaw had mentioned. So,
if there was and you knew of it, you wouldn't be here now.
No, you and I would be sitting on a beach somewhere warm.
Yeah.
So all we've got to do is find Treasure Rock and five cedar trees growing in the shape of a heart.
No, that should... Well, the cedar trees, there's quite a few of those.
And, Zeb, there's been a few fires go through the city of
Rock. Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah. Now, some say the fruits of two separate robberies are also hidden in the city of Rocks. Both holdups occurred north of Kelton, which Kelton was, you know, on the way from Boise over to Utah.
Right.
So that was where the train ended, right over there. But anyway, the outlaws making their getaway into the twisted lava rock of the city of Rocks on November 18, 1879. A guy named Bill Mays and W.H. Overholtz robbed a Gilmer and Salisbury stage along the Kelton Road, taking an undisclosed amount of bullion from the treasure box, and they fled into the mysterious maze of the city of Rocks. They played hide-and-seek with a posse until the first week in December when they were surrounded in a box canyon. Both were caught, captured, and entered the Idaho Territorial Prison on January 22, 1880. Both were transferred to a federal prison at Albany, New York in June of 1881.
How much of that trail, if you will, let's say from Salt Lake all the way over here to Kelton, et cetera, how much is still there?
I've been to Kelton, and there's really nothing there.
I see.
You know, there's just there's nothing there really to see hardly at all.
I know where there's one stage station that's in Crumbles, but do you know where there's others?
Well, there used to be one at the City of Rocks, and if you go over there, you can still kind of see the outline of the City of Rocks stage station. But when I was a kid, younger, you could actually see the log.
Vandals go up and tear them apart?
No, I just think weather? Decay. Yeah,
I see.
Yeah. So anyway, continuing with that robbery, on the 3rd of January 1881, the Kelton stage was robbed by Charlie Chambers, and like the other two guys, Mays and Overholtz, he tried to hide in the city of Rocks, and like them, he was captured and sent to prison. Now, apparently, Chambers was a pretty tough guy because he escaped from prison on July 6, 1882, was recaptured, and escaped again on March 22, 1883.
Who locked the door?
That's a good question. He fled to a place called Benicia, California.
How do you spell it?
Benicia.
Never heard of that.
I haven't either. Where on August 1st, he shot two city policemen who attempted to arrest him. Chambers was injured during the fight, captured, and entered the California State Prison on November 1st, 1883. And he served a term of 20 years. And there's no reason to believe that any of these robbers, Chambers, Mays, or Overholtz, ever returned to Idaho. So it's pretty safe to say that wherever they hid the treasure in the City of Rocks. It's still there.
Still there.
Yeah. So, again, Zeb, I had never heard of more robberies, and I'm going to continue this because there's some more that I haven't gotten to in the City of Rocks. But you can see this book that I really appreciate Ray Bagby getting this to me. And, again, what an amazing man.
He is such a nice guy.
He gave me a tour.
So knowledgeable.
He gave me a tour through his buildings, and he showed me where he builds the wagon wheels. And that is, I don't know if you've ever wondered about that, but they take this wood, and I think it's about 2 inches thick by maybe 3 inches wide, something like that. They put it into a long pipe, and they steam it for, I want to say, about 4 hours. Then they pull that wooden piece out, and they lay it on a flat piece of bendable metal, like heavy tin, and on each end of the tin, there's a hook. And they put a chain on each end of that hook, and then they slowly bring the ends together up against a form that is perfectly round. So they bring that up slowly, and it forms the half circle of a wagon wheel.
Wow.
Then, they do it again. Then they put the two halves together, and then they put the metal rim over the wood.
I was going to say, wow.
So it's quite a process.
I wonder, did you ever stop and think in history, whether it's back in Egyptian times or in the Wild West, whose mind came up with these ideas to do this?
Exactly, exactly. And Ray has a huge old-fashioned lathe that he runs, he builds his own wagon wheels. Again,
he's one sharp cookie.
And the hearse that he built is just magnificent. Perfect joints in the wood, and it's black.
You know what we ought to do sometime is not just have a half hour, but invite Ray to come here with you on the air.
Oh, yeah. Ray.
Wouldn't that be something?
He is so knowledgeable.
Yeah. Anyway. That was excellent. You had my complete attention through that whole thing.
Well, he's got a bunch of stories in this book, and I'm going to be pulling stories out of that for a while.
You outdid yourself.
Thank you.
And Ray Bagby, thank you very much.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.